Saturday morning to you here at 104.9 WFIW and WFIWradio.com. It's time for Saturday Sunrise. I'm Derek Dunn, your host here at about just a little after 7:40 here on this Saturday morning. As always, you can listen to past episodes of Saturday Sunrise by going online to our website at WFIWradio.com. Click on About Us, then click on Saturday Sunrise here. And, of course, Darren Caudill and I did some weather coverage last weekend due to the rain that we had. But the week prior to that, though, you can listen to the interview I did with Chris Miller, who is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service up in Lincoln, Illinois. Well, I've had this guy on the show a couple of times here, and always a pleasure chatting with him about life and all kinds of things. But it's Don K. Wood, who is a who taught at FCHS, Fairfield Community High School, also coached there for a number of years, and you also taught at Mills Prairie down there at Mill Shoals. And when it was operational. But I've always been interested in your basketball career, Don, your basketball background, because I think it's very fascinating. You were born in Kentucky on the eastern side of the state, and then about two and a half years old, you migrate over to Katy's, Kentucky, and land between the lakes. And I want to mention our listeners, Katy's is to the west of Hopkinsville is where it's at. But when you were growing up, in Katy's, Kentucky, who was the person who introduced you to the game of basketball?
Well, I went to a one-room country school for the first 3 years, and the first time I ever saw a basketball was when the teacher, who was a woman, opened up the attic, and she pulled a basketball rim with an end on it and a basketball that was flat with no air in it. Well, that's the first time I'd ever seen a basketball. I couldn't figure out why they had an end on there. I didn't know that it would release the ball and let it drop on out. I thought it was going to catch the ball and retain it. But they tacked it up on the wall on the eastern end of the school, and we shot some baskets. Yeah.
What was the name of the school, by the way, Don? Do you remember?
It was Hanbury School.
Okay.
It was closed in 1942 during the war when I was in the third grade, and I went to a school in Katy's, Kentucky at the grade school from fourth through the sixth grade then.
And then eventually, you went on to high school down there at Katy's, Kentucky, which is Katy's is the, I did some research on this, is the largest city in Trigg County, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So there was like a Trigg County High School, or?
Yes. We had two buildings for our schools. We had first through sixth at one location, and then seventh through 12th at the other. And when I was in the eighth grade, I actually played on the junior varsity basketball team. That was, I don't think any other player has done that before or since.
I'll be.
Yeah.
When you played basketball, you played at a young age, but, what were you like? I mean, you obviously were a guard because you were not a big man down low.
Well, I actually played forward.
Yeah. Oh, okay, forward, yeah. My mistake.
And I was a ball handler. I was one of the better ball handlers on the team. That was during the time when you would shoot a set shot. And actually, my expertise was more in the set shot. A two-handed shot, or if I had to release it quickly, it'd be a one-hand, but it was a set shot. And I was a pretty good leaper, pretty good jumper, and that's why I probably played it forward rather than guard.
Okay, well, you kind of, in today's game, I would think, given your ball handling capability, you probably would have played a little bit guard as well, probably a little bit more multidimensional.
Yes, I did, especially in my younger years. Yeah, started out as a guard.
And when you played, though, when you played forward, you always said talked about the set shot, but what about defense? How were you like defensively?
Well, we played more zone defense than I would recommend. I think we would have been better players if we had had more man-to-man defense, and the coach that I had first in high school was Bob Fizer, and he was a real good coach. Actually, he had a boy that was good, and he and his boy went on to Vanderbilt. They recruited his son, and he left Tree County High School and went to Vanderbilt as assistant coach.
Okay, and what were some of your teammates? Do you remember any of your teammates at all that played with you?
I sure do. Bill Feltner, Adrian Simmons, Johnny Calhoun, J.D. Howell, and I, that was a starting five my senior year.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Saturday Sunrise here on WFIW AM and FM and online at WFIWRadio.com. Derek Dunn here with you, chatting with Don K. Wood here, talking about his basketball career and his basketball background. Now, you know, when you look at back on your basketball playing days down there at Cady's in Trigg County, were there any memorable games, maybe any memorable opponents? Because I would imagine there's always those players that stand out to you because they were good. They were hands down a worthy opponent.
Yeah. Well, most of our opponents were much bigger schools than Trigg County. We played teams like Paducah, Mayfield, Madisonville, Hopkinsville, and that size schools. One of my most memorable games was when I was a junior, and we beat Mayfield at their home court.
Wow.
And they were three times our size in enrollment. And for a player that I can remember, Frank Ramsey, that was All-American at University of Kentucky and was on their undefeated team in 1954, I was playing on the JV team when we played Madisonville, and Frank Ramsey was playing on the varsity. He was the number six man at Boston Celtics and was considered one of the best number six man that ever played in the basketball.
No kidding. What was Ramsey like? You know, for someone who doesn't know who Frank Ramsey was he like a tall player, or was he just a guard, or what?
He was 6 foot three, but he held the rebounding record for many years after he graduated at Kentucky.
I'll be, is there any other opponents that you recall that maybe went on to the pros, like Ramsey, or maybe they had a great college career too?
Well, I'd get into my years when I was coaching. Doug Collins played at Benton, Kentucky, when I was coaching at Fairfield. And you know, Doug Collins went on and became an all-star player and represented the United States in the 77 Olympics when the Russians finally prolonged the game long enough that they were ahead and claimed to be winners.
Oh, he was from Benton, Illinois, actually.
Benton.
Benton. And so he was – Doug Collins was great, and you look at the career he's had in a professional level. You've also been a licensed official for years here, and I want to talk about that for a moment. Okay. But you've officiated basketball for so long here, and state of Illinois is in dire need of officials here. And what has led to the official shortage?
Well, I think several things contribute to that. I think the behavior of some of the parents and the fans, and maybe people are not as willing to serve. It is a service if you're going to officiate. I took a college course in officiating in Kentucky, and that's when I began. I held a license in officiating in Kentucky to begin with. And the majority of people would rather be spectators today than to be participants. And they'd like to be a critic and sit on the sideline and tell how the strong man failed or the official made the bad call. And I think the average age of officials now is probably close to 60 years old. We don't have young officials coming on. That's a big problem.
Yeah, there's a few young officials I know of here in the area. Some are like maybe about my age and maybe on up here. So we like to encourage those who are younger. I mean, please, you know, if you want to take officiating courses, you want to be a licensed official through the IHSA or whatever state that you live in, please, it would be a great service.
Yeah, now you can become an official at the age of 17.
Really?
Yeah. And you have to pay a $70 fee and make 80% or more in an open book test. And you have to pass an exam on concussions. And you have to do that every 3 years. And you have to take a rules interpretation meeting every 3 years and view a video every year.
And whenever you take those courses, though, there's always something new, isn't it?
Yes. There's a rule change every year, some years more than others. And I thought about the rule change. There used to be just five timeouts, and they were all 1 minute in length. And I don't know when they went to the 32nd timeout. It's probably been 30 or 40 years ago. But I can remember when there was just one timeout. It was a 60-minute or 60-second timeout.
I did not know that. See, that's something new I learned from you. Is, you know, I mean, I've seen the full minute time, the 1 minute timeouts, yeah, of course, and then there's the 30, of course, and but it's amazing how that has also changed the dynamic of the game a little bit, because either you can plan like your substitutions a little bit, mm-hmm, your rotations, or if you want to have like a little quick strategy, it's amazing, really.
A lot of the rules that have come along have been rules that would change the pace and make it quicker, faster game, mm-hmm, which is good.
And I think it's changed. I think that's how basketball's changed, too, is the physicality and the speed of the game has just increased over the years.
Yeah, right. There's several terms that, I've mentioned one or two to you that that it's just a small detail, a technicality, but backboards are still backboards. They're not called glass,
no.
not called off the glass.
No.
And it's a division line, not the half line, not the timeline, but division line. The in line and not the baseline. And, of course, everybody knows what you're talking about if they're fans, but a hell ball instead of a jump ball. Now, there is a jump ball to begin the game. That's mm-hmm. called a jump ball.
Right.
But they didn't. It wasn't hell before then. During the game, it'll be a hell ball. The ring, not the rim. Screen, not a pick. 60-second timeout, not a full. And traveling, not a walk. You can travel more ways than just walking.
But those are some of the correct terminology that you've used over the years, though, too. And
right.
not just as an official, but also a coach, too, for that matter.
Right, yes.
And I think it's something that we've all gotten used to, I think, over the years, that we hear announcers, we hear, those that may be in the bleachers right there, the coaches. But I remember the 60-second timeout. I remember you told me that. It was a week when I think Fairfield hosted Hamilton County, and I had announced games of the Conrad Allen Holiday Tournament, and I think it was Sisney or Gallatin County called a timeout. And I remember I said, okay, full timeout on the floor, we'll be right back. And then I thought to myself, if Don K. Wood was listening to that broadcast, he would probably say, I just told you this Tuesday, days ago, it's 60-second timeout and not full. And I was kicking myself off air. So, but that's one of the stories that I have. And it just, your terminology, it just stuck in my head. So,
Alternating possession arrow also helped to speed up the game rather than go back and do a jump ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're still doing jump balls. Like, for example, the NBA, I know that, like, if you were, like, there was, like, a held ball, then they would kind of jump for it, you mm-hmm. know, at one of the circles, not just, like, in the middle, but on the ends mm-hmm. of the floor as well.
Yeah.
Don, of course, you've had a career in terms of officiating, coaching, and playing the game of basketball, and it's your favorite sport, isn't it?
Yes. Basketball is my favorite sport. I met a lot of interesting people while I was coaching and officiating. I coached against Ron Felling from Lawrenceville when he was doing the JVs. And Dick Korn from Pinckneyville, Gene Hale from McLeansboro, Ron Heron from Olney, and Rich Heron. I didn't coach against Rich, but I was well acquainted with Rich.
Okay, all right.
And McDougal and Evers at Carmi. I knew those guys, David Lee from McLeansboro. And in officiating, I don't know if you know about Dick Dietz or not, but when I began officiating, some of the first games I ever called, he was my partner and my mentor. And he's called finals in the state tournament more than once.
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And for that reason, he was an accomplished official because you knew he was fair and balanced. He tried to be that way.
You're right.
And that's the way it should be. It should be. There should be no bias. It should be fair and balanced in terms of officiating and not one team over the other here. But, Don, I got to thank you, man. Thank you for coming out here this morning, talking about your career down there at Kentucky, you know, the genesis of how you love and appreciate the game, your school years, and all the way up to your coaching and officiating days. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm Derek Dunn. That wraps up Saturday Sunrise here. Have a wonderful Saturday, and stay tuned for the guest next week when it will be announced. Until then, have a wonderful Saturday and rest of the weekend.